begin Romans chapter 5 today. Let's back up to Romans chapter 4 and ease into Romans chapter 5. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, that's talking about Abraham, trusting God, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, not for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If we have the faith of Abraham, we'll have the salvation of Abraham. Praise the Lord. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul has made very plain in Romans chapter 4 that we were all sinners and we all have a history of sin. And now, at the end of Romans chapter 4, he makes it very plain that we have been justified by faith, even as Abraham was justified by faith by believing what God said. We can be justified by faith by believing what God has said. Somebody said, what do you have to believe? You have to believe everything God says. That's what it takes. You can't pick and choose and say, well, I believe in repentance, but not baptism in Jesus' name. Or I believe in baptism by immersion, but not in Jesus' name. Or I believe in repenting and being baptized, but I believe the Holy Ghost isn't for us today. I believe that went out with the apostles and so on. People carry on. You have to believe everything God said. Everything God said. It's as simple as that. Whatever God said to Abraham, he did. Get up and go, Abraham. He says, okay, where are we going? Can't tell you now. He went out not knowing whither he went. You're going to have a son. Okay, God, I'm going to have a son. And he didn't. And he waited and waited about 24 years before he had a son. And after he had a son, so many more years, maybe a few decades went by, and he said, take your son up and kill him. He said, okay, Lord. Just anything God said, Abraham was willing to do. That's what we have to do. Do we believe that Jesus died for our sins? Literally, actually died? Well, it's not hard to believe that somebody died. That's not the difficult thing. The difficult thing for people is to believe that a man died and rose from the dead. Not that he died, but that he died and rose from the dead. That's a little more difficult to believe. And so that's what we have. That's the kind of faith we have to have. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart. Just like Abraham believed in his heart that when he took Isaac up on Mount Moriah and was going to put the knife through his heart or into his body and take his life, shed his blood and offer him a sacrifice unto God, even as Abraham believed that God would raise his son from the dead, we have to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Do we believe that? Yes, we do. Praise the Lord. So in Romans chapter 5, or chapter 4, we learn that we are all born in sin. We all have a history of sin. We're all justified by faith, even as Abraham was justified by faith. And somebody said the word justified means just as if I'd never. Just as if I'd never. And I think that's beautiful because I look at all you people out here and you look to me just as if you'd never. Some of you, how many used to smoke? Anybody here used to smoke? Look around. Look, put your hands up again. You, look around at everybody. Can you picture them smoking? Huh? Can you picture Brother Roy Klickner lighting up cigarette after cigarette? You know why? He's been justified. It's just as if he'd never. The blood of Jesus washed him. The Spirit of God sanctified him. And now you look at him and it's just as if he never smoked. Praise the Lord. Anybody here ever drink? Anybody here ever been drunk? Just hold your hand up. Look around, everybody. Can you picture Sister Moody drunk? Huh? No. You know why? She's been justified. She's been made to look and act just as if she'd never. Because Jesus Christ has changed her life. Praise the Lord. And I can't picture you people smoking cigarettes and drinking booze and shooting dope and foul-mouthed and all that, but that's the facts. In fact, that's what we read in 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord. When God gets done washing you, when God gets done sanctifying you, when God gets done justifying you, you'd never guess he or she was ever a sinner. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's fantastic. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Amen. We are not just. We are justified. There is only one just, and you can find that several times in the scripture. One just, or the just one, capital J, capital O, the just one. Only one was just. There's none righteous, no, not one. Only one. Who is he? Jesus. Praise the Lord. One just one, many justified ones. That's you and me. Peter talks about it, and he says, the just, that's Jesus, for the unjust. The just died for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, or to God. So Jesus is the just one in that he has no history of sin, unlike us, who all have a history of sin. But our history of sin was eradicated, washed away, to be remembered no more, to appear no more, through the blood of the just one. Folks, this is the truth. This is the truth. I don't have a comic book here. This is the Holy Bible, God's Word. This is the truth. Oh, let's embrace this truth and rejoice in the God of our salvation. Praise the Lord. So I said, there's only one just, that's Jesus. Many justified sinners, that's us, made just as if we'd never. The just one died for the unjust ones that he might bring us to God. And Jesus is that just one because he has no history of sin. And our history of sin was eradicated by the blood of Jesus. And that's not all. His sinless history was credited to our account. That is imputed righteousness. We get credit for his holy life. Do you know why we worship God? That's why. Do you know why we lift our hands and clap our hands and shout and run these aisles and dance and get excited about our salvation? That's why. Because we've been credited with his perfect, holy, sinless life. And when you stand before the judgment bar of God, if you are a forgiven sinner, God will find no more fault with you than he finds with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, to be forgiven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus, our wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. The Lord is in you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I pray in Jesus. Hallelujah. See how important it is that we forgive one another? Husband forgive wives. Wife forgives husband. Children forgive parents. Parents forgive children. Fellow saint forgive fellow saint. Forgive people in the world. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Let it be a major word in our vocabularies. Forgive, forgive, forgive one another. Why is it so important that we forgive one another? Because if we don't forgive one another, Jesus said, I won't be able to forgive you. He said, it's not right. It's not right. If I have forgiven you of such an enormous debt, and some brother's got a little tiny, eensy-weensy little debt against you, and you don't forgive him that little, little debt, and I've forgiven you this debt, he said, it's not right. I'm not letting you in. I'm not letting you into heaven if you don't forgive your brother his trespasses against you. That's what the Bible says. That's why I say it is so important that we forgive one another. There will be only one person in heaven who was never justified. You know who that is? Jesus. He was never justified. Because he's just. He didn't need justification. He is just. He is holy, harmless, separate from sinners. But you and I needed justification because we were born in sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just a word for people seeking the Holy Ghost. Once you have been justified by faith, you will never, never, never become more qualified to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You will never become more qualified. If the blood of Jesus can't qualify you, nothing can. Got it? You cannot add one thing to the price Jesus paid for your justification. You can't add one thing that will better qualify you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. I got to die, or you can't have the Holy Ghost. I have to shed my blood to wash your sins away, or you can't have the Holy Ghost in a sin-infested body." Okay? So I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart via the cross of Calvary, I will send him unto you. So to attempt to better qualify yourself than Jesus' blood has qualified you is like trying to improve on the holy life of Jesus. We have imputed righteousness. Praise the Lord. G.T. Haywood, Jesus' name, oneness, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, Pentecostal preacher in this great movement, wrote these words in a song that my wife plays. God gave him a ransom, our souls to recover, Jesus, the Son of God. His blood made us worthy, his spirit to hover, Jesus, the Son of God. So I'm not the only one preaching this doctrine. G.T. Haywood preached it long before I did. Praise the Lord, that you must be cleansed before you can be filled. Yes. Justification number 1347, and according to Vines, the act of pronouncing righteous, the establishment of a person as just by acquittal from guilt. Candidate for the Holy Ghost, before I leave that subject. John 14:17, Jesus talking about the Holy Ghost said, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Don't go out there and try to give the Holy Ghost to an unrepentant sinner. That doesn't work. You might lay your hands on somebody and shake them until their tongue rattles and you say, I heard him. And he goes right back to the bar, the booze, and everything else that he didn't come out of. Follow me? Yeah. No. Jesus said the world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. There has to be a conversion first. Amen. Matthew 9:17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break. And the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Ephesians 1:13. In whom, Jesus, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and then, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Don't lose that biblical, that Bible truth. Don't lose it. They're trying to run away from it today. I understand that. Trying to just make the Holy Ghost first and last in everything. Brother, there's a cross. There's a cross that was raised on a hill called Mount Calvary. And that cross preceded Pentecost. That cross preceded Pentecost. And I will say that Calvary precedes Pentecost, both historically and experientially. Don't try to get to the upper room bypassing Calvary. Go there and reckon with your ungodly nature. Go there and reckon with your sins. And let the blood of Jesus flow over you and cleanse you. And then go to the upper room and have a genuine experience of receiving the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, peace is the opposite of war, right? We're really at war, we're at peace. Okay? We were at war with God. The Bible tells us in several places, Colossians 1:21 for one, that we were by nature enemies of God. We were at war with God. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have made peace with God. Praise the Lord. We were enemies. Look what happened to Abraham. It tells us in our Bibles in James 2:23. Maybe you want to look there. James chapter 2:23. I think this is so exciting. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith. Listen to this now. Abraham believed God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Okay? Number one, he believed God. Number two, look at what happened. It was imputed to him for righteousness. He was justified by faith. And number three, he was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. We were born enemies of God, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And now, because of justification, we're on a friendship basis with God. Praise the Lord. Abraham was called a friend of God after he was justified. You and I are called friends of God after we're justified. Praise the Lord. We have peace with God. There's a song in the book, page 203. Wonderful peace. Wonderful peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How different than the world. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. Ah, they're like the dirt on the bottom of the sea. Just all mire and stirred up. You know, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's also in Isaiah 57:21. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And it's all through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed when you read the New Testament over and over, it says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have it, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that God became flesh. And that flesh was named Jesus, and it's through him, because God's a spirit, and the spirit can't die, that he became a man and gave his life for us. So everything is through that flesh. Everything is through him. Everything is through Jesus Christ. So being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, not apart from him. Verse 2, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Access. Let me read you a little story I just happened to run across. Following the Civil War, a dejected Confederate soldier was sitting outside the grounds of the White House. A young boy approached him and inquired why he was so sad. The soldier related how he had repeatedly tried to see President Lincoln to tell him he was unjustly deprived of certain lands in the South following the war. On each occasion as he attempted to enter the White House, the guards crossed their bayoneted guns in front of the door and turned him away. The boy motioned to the soldier to follow him. When they approached the guarded entrance, the soldiers came to attention, stepped back, and opened the door for the boy. He proceeded to the library where the president was resting and introduced the soldier to his father. The boy was Tad Lincoln, President Lincoln's son. That's what Jesus Christ did. He introduced us to the Father, by whom also we have access. Aren't you glad to know Him? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're building a connecting hallway here. We're building a connecting hallway, connecting this building with the stone building. That's what these footings are out here. All this digging going on is all about. The doors on the west end and the doors on the east end of that first hallway, the one running west and east, will give us access. Those doors will give us access to the Sunday school rooms, to the New Hope Christian School learning centers, both up and down, learning to read center, to the kitchens, both here and over there, to the basement over there, to the sanctuary here, and so on. That one door gives us access. It says here, by whom also we have access. We haven't only been justified by faith and then set in a corner somewhere to do nothing till it's all over. For one thing, it's never going to be over. For another thing, there's always going to be something to do. We have access into this grace wherein we stand. Wherein we stand. This wasn't a one-time experience. Getting saved, receiving the Holy Ghost wasn't a one-time experience. This is an ongoing thing. Praise the Lord. We have access into something marvelous, something unending, something wonderful. Just like this door over here will give us access to so many different things. Praise the Lord. Jesus, the door, has given us access into this grace, into this salvation wherein we stand and all the blessings of it. Let me read Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That in the ages to come, boy, that's ongoing, isn't it? You know, I heard on the news, Voyager is 3 billion miles away from Eau Claire now, Mother Earth, and is approaching, what planet? Neptune, right? Neptune, 3 billion miles away. And they're taking pictures and sending them back, and they are excited. Well, I've been further away than 3 billion miles, and am I excited? I got into the Word of God, and I've gone off into space ad infinitum, you know, just on and on and on, and into the very presence of God. Paul knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such a one was transported into heaven. Praise the Lord. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Aren't you excited? Praise the Lord. But there they are out there sending pictures back, all excited. I don't think they'll ever get there, but it took them 12 years, you know. It's been traveling 12 years. But we're getting where we're going. And it's not going to take 12 years. It's just going to be the trumpet sounds, the rapture takes place, and we're there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That in the ages to come, excuse me, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There we have it again. Amen. All because of him. Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This is a permanent relationship with God, and therefore we have cause for continual rejoicing. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I appreciate your excitement and all that, fellas, but boy, if you think casting out devils is something to rejoice over, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Praise the Lord. Rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We believe, we have hope, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. No wonder we get happy when we sing, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can sing and shout right now because we're rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, we've already talked about that, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You read in 1 Corinthians 11 that man was made in the image of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 11 says that he is in the image of God, but you have to understand what he's saying when you compare all the other scriptures with it. Man was originally made in the image of God. In the image of God made he them, male and female. Okay, but man was made to be in the image of God, and he was to be the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 11:7 tells us. But you have to remember, after man was created in the image of God, there was a fall. And when he crashed, that image was marred. And we don't see all things put under him. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews 2? Let me find that here. One in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now that's what it says. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. But understand, there was a fall. He's saying here that all animals and so on were put under the power of Adam. He had dominion over them. He says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now some people read that and think that's the way it is today. No, you just go up and try to pet an angry lion. You'll be missing an arm and a leg or a head or something. Oh, let's read on. But now we see not yet all things put under him. We read the first half of the verse and we go up and pet the angry lion. We read the last half of the verse and we repent. And say, it's my fault, Lord, that I lost this arm. Now we see not yet all things put under him. But see here, what we do see? We see Jesus. That's what we see. We see the one man who overcame. The one man who was just. Praise the Lord. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And on it goes, how he saved us. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. It's fantastic. Okay, back to that image of God. Created in the image of God. Remember, there's a first Adam and there's a second Adam. Or a last Adam. Same thing. Okay? Each heads of creations. We have to talk about that sometime. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. What are we talking about? Back to verse 2 of Romans 5. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This condition in which we are in is not eternal. This headache that you have, this backache you suffer, this cancer that you fear, It's all temporary, folks. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We will be restored to that image. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. I could turn a page in Romans here and read verse 29 of chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. But through Jesus, we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. What is it that keeps you rejoicing when you look in the mirror as you begin to age and you see those crow's feet and you see those wrinkles and those ditches forming in your face? What is it that causes you to keep rejoicing when your step begins to falter and maybe you need the help of a cane or crutches? What is it that keeps you rejoicing when you look at your body aging and deteriorating away? And you go out to the cemetery and you see your dad's grave, your mother's grave, and your contemporary brother's grave. What is it that causes you, maybe with tears flowing down your face, in memory of that person and in missing that person, but what is it that causes you to rejoice in hope of glory? Praise the Lord. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What do we do when we go to the cemetery? Man, I almost said it at the last funeral. I just looked at that hole in the ground and something came over me. And I just wanted to scream. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. That's what keeps the real, true, born again child of God rejoicing. His hope in the glory of God. Praise the Lord. What keeps you rejoicing when the religious persecutor comes and burns your house down? What keeps you singing? I've got a mansion just over the hillside. What keeps you singing that? The hope of the glory of God. We can't stop rejoicing. The Bible says, rejoice evermore. Praise the Lord. I better stop there because if I...